You may or may not know this, but I haven't always been an adult. I was born the youngest of five kids in a very Catholic family, and you know, I could throw up all day, miss school, but if we had CCD that night, you were going to CCD. And then eventually I was confirmed and I graduated and I didn't have to go anything, and then those people at church announced they were having a youth group. And I thought, man, that's too bad for those suckers that got to go to that, because that's just going to be all the loser kids and the nerd priest. And my mom's like, well, you're going. And I was like, no, I don't want to be a loser kid. And so I went, and I'm in ninth grade at this point, and we were cutting out pictures in magazines that described how we felt and pasting them. And I don't know if you know a lot about ninth graders, but that's not what you want to be doing when you're in ninth grade. So I suffered through that a little bit, but around the same time, I was invited to go to Young Life. That's the ministry that I eventually worked for 12 years. Now, this wasn't a Catholic thing, which was no small detail, but my mom was like, look, if you're going to be excited about going, go. So I started attending Young Life, and Young Life Club was in somebody's house. Music, games, we talked about it last week, lots of fun. And I mean, there were like real people there. And not only that, there were like people from other school districts there who didn't know what a jerk I was. So it was like a clean slate for pitch and game. So it was exciting, it was awesome. And then all of a sudden, there was this guy there, one of the adults, he was a newer guy. He was one of the leaders, his name was Jerry. And for those of you who are around, it's not Jerry Zilstra, this was a Young Life thing. His name was Jerry, and he was an adult. So it meant he was like 22, 40, I don't know. He was just older than me, it didn't matter. But Jerry was like the cool guy. You know, like there was the people that were there that were nice, and you're like, oh, they still help out like Dick Shorthouse and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, that's not, but like Jerry's here? Jerry's cool. And Jerry would always know my name. He'd be like, Jay, what's up? And I'd be like, wow, that is so awesome. And then one day, after a couple months, he's like, hey, Jay, you just turned 16, right? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you looking for a job? And I'm like, no. Yeah. Because he worked at the Gap. He was the cool guy selling clothes at the Gap. He was one of the managers. He said, well, come on up and you can fill out an application. And so I did. And he's like, hey, what are you doing a little bit later? I get off about 6. You want to go grab something to eat? And I'm like, do I? I mean, I don't know. I'll have to see, you know. But the fact that this guy wanted to spend time with me, he was like a real adult who had like real things to do. But yet he chose to spend time with me. And we go over to Fridays, and not only did we hang out together, but he bought. Do you know how many adults paid attention to me at that point in time in my life? I told you I was the youngest of five kids. I've told this story before, I'll tell it again. My sister had snapped a rubber band against my neck. And I went over to my mother and I said, Mom, she hurt me, don't you care? And she said, honey, I can't. I've got five kids. I wish I could. My own family didn't pay attention to me. But this guy graced me with this much? Why did he do it? Well, because he's a very scary and dangerous man? Maybe. Or maybe he was trying to personify the love of Jesus Christ, who graced us with his presence here on earth and saved us from so much with just grace. I didn't deserve the attention. I mean, I was a pretty awesome kid, but I wasn't that awesome. It's grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something bad that you deserve. But we're looking at grace today. And we're looking at the fact that there's more to it than you think. And that's the sermon series. There's more. And this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In so many of his letters, he's like, okay, here's where you screwed up, here's where you've fallen short, and here's where it's gonna go if you don't change it. This is different. This is just much more positive. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 as we take a look at grace. Verse 1, chapter 2. It says, as for you, and now he's saying this to all Christians, so if you have decided to follow Jesus Christ, he's saying it to you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Now that's an interesting phrase you don't hear very often. Ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's got a bit of a cadence to it. What does it mean? Well, he's certainly talking about the enemy. But it's an interesting phrase, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Satan has typically two lies. One, that he doesn't exist. Two, that he's just as powerful as God. Okay, those are both not true. But while Satan is a created being, he's not a human being. And he rules, as it says in here, he's the ruler of the air. He is not one to be trifled with. And people blindly follow. And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work at those in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. Nobody here was born saved by grace. We're born, we sin, and we can turn and repent. And if you haven't done that, my goodness, now's the time to do that. Don't say, oh, I've been a Christian my whole life. No. There's a point in time where one needs to become a Christian, where one decides, I'm giving my life up to you, Lord Jesus Christ. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature. Some translations say flesh. But see, I like the fact that this says sinful nature. Because if you go flesh, you just go, oh, like adultery? Yeah, I don't do that. I'm better than those people. I don't drink. No, I don't struggle with that. Right? Well, you're a judgmental jerk, and that's kind of your sinful nature. So maybe you shouldn't do that. So I like that it says sinful nature. And following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. I love how humble, how he's keeping it real. He's like, look, we're no better than anybody else. We were in that same boat. And we were by nature objects of wrath. What does that mean? Well, there is either people who are on the God team or people who are not on the God team, if I may make it overly simple. You can't be like sort of okay with God a little bit. You've either given your life to Christ or you are dead in your sin. If you're dead in your sin, you're object of his wrath. That's just who you are. And for those who have decided to follow Jesus Christ, that's who you were. And that's what he's describing here. But because of what? His great love for us. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say, but because he wanted to be the man. Because he wanted to show how awesome and mighty he was. And he has every right to do that. But because of his great love for us. What are you struggling with? What is it that's holding you back? What fear has crept into the forefront of your mind? What body part hurt this morning and you're going, oh, what is that? When's the last time you checked your bank account without going? Because of his great love for us. Let the simple words seep in. His great love for us. Not just love, his great love for us. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. We are alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. I say it again, what hinders you? What is holding you back? What is burdening you? Because you've been raised up with Christ. And you're seated with him in the heavenly realms. You're important to God. Not even for what you do. You're his child. We talked last week, you have been adopted into his family. He chose to call you son and daughter. What burdens you? I'm not shaming you for the burden. I'm trying to lift it up to a perspective that we can't even necessarily understand. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. We're seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show. So this is out of His love, but then in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. I think He's shown quite a bit of His grace by allowing me to be in His kingdom. I'm a pathetic human being. I know that many of you are as well. He is showing His grace, expressed in His kindness to us. Isn't that just simple? I love simple scripture. I don't understand the Bible. It's too complex. Okay. But here it says, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace. Okay, I don't know if anybody else can be as gracious as God. Expressed how? In His what? Kindness. Yeah, this is a lovely word. Kindness. Lord, that was awfully kind of You. But it was. To us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. If you've ever memorized the scripture verse, this is a good one. For it is by what? Grace. Grace. Nothing we earned. Nothing we did. God so chose to bestow upon us grace. For it is by grace you have been saved. If you have decided to follow Jesus Christ, you are saved. Saved from what? God's wrath. Separation from the God of all creation, eternal damnation, those type things. Again, if you have not done that, I encourage you to do so. You have been what? Saved. Saved through faith. So it's gracious of God to allow us to be saved through faith in Him, in Jesus. But guess what? This, not of yourselves. Don't you love how God knows how quickly our chest goes like, and we get all puffed up like we somebody. And He's like, no, no. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. You didn't choose God, God chose you. And we can sit here and debate predestination, free will, all this stuff. Here's what I know. You're saved by grace through faith. That faith, not of your own. How do I know that? It's what Paul said. Inspired by God. God chose to give you that faith. How dare we look down at non-Christians? How dare we look down at them and go, oh, look at them, blah, blah. Oh, maybe they just don't know yet. And it ain't like you did anything special. Maybe you should be gracious as you talk to them. But this faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works so that no one should boast. You didn't boast your way into heaven. You better not boast while you're walking with the Lord either. For we are God's workmanship. Hear that? Workmanship. Now, in our world, in our culture today, we don't workmanship too much. I know Jim Tremblay does. That's about it. Mike Nagy, maybe. We don't work on too much anymore. But think about something that is worked upon. If you're whittling a piece of wood, if you're sanding away some stone, if you're creating something, okay? Tell me about the wood if you're whittling. Tell me about its thoughts. Tell me about how impactful it is. Tell me about the stone as you're carving it into a chess piece. Tell me about the shoe that you're about to cobble. I'm losing it. Okay, the point of the story is this. It doesn't have much of a say in the matter now, does it? No, it doesn't. No. Likewise, we are God's workmanship. God is just holding us. God is working us. He's massaging us. He's moving us. He's sharpening us. He's holding us. I want to take away the burden of your performance for Christ to some degree. Yeah, you might need a spiritual kick in the posterior to get you to do something, but you don't. As much as I give away bonus points, they really don't exist. The workmanship is just being held by the master. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, it's a good thing, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Are you noticing the theme here? It's kind of all about God. And it's for us to go, okay, and just follow along. We had a marriage event Friday night, over 20 people there, beautiful event. Somebody said, I am so hurt, and their spouse, is so hurt. How could we ever love each other? How can we help? How can we fix each other? And I said, you can't. But the Holy Spirit can. Don't you understand that? The Holy Spirit can. It is, after all about Him. So that's the preface. We're hearing about grace. This is all gracious. And now we transition to verse 11. Therefore, come on, old timers. Whenever you see therefore, you're supposed to look in your Bible to find out what it's. Thank you. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called, now stick with me here, everybody. It's going to get ugly for a minute. By birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which, by the way, bad name. Bad name, I would not go by that. Hi, who are you? We're the circumcision. Nice to meet you. Ladies and gentlemen, the circumcision! What they're saying is the difference between Gentiles and Jews. The Gentiles were the unchosen. The Jews were the chosen. They're describing it as such. By those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Got it. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So he's talking to these Gentiles who have now followed Jesus Christ. He's like, remember how bad it was. Remember, you had nothing to do with us. You weren't a part of the promise. This was the cultural truth of the day with Jew and Gentile. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Now, you have to have a little history understanding. In the temple, there was a wall, and the Gentile could go so far, but not past said wall of hostility. That's what the Old Testament, the law, had called for. Okay. It said, he has destroyed the barrier, certainly between man and God, but he's now talking Jew and Gentile. The dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. You see, too often we read this and we think he's talking about the law. Well, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. They're talking here in this reference about that law, dividing Jew and Gentile. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. And of course, we're speaking in generalities, man. Thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Okay, this is nice. This is happy, happy, joy, joy. Jew, Gentile, together. But he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. He started off kind of grim, saying how separate they were. But now he's saying, you're no longer that. But fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Please don't ever gloss over that. Members of God's household. I don't care how bad your family life is. Yes, I do. I will join you in your emotion. What I mean is, you are a member of God's family. You are a member of his household. I pray that you'll remember that Wednesday morning at 8:30. We got it now. Thursday afternoon, about 6:45. That's evening. Members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. How? In the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Okay, this is nice. This is important. This is good. Have you had a lot of fights with the Messianic Jews lately? Have we had any conflict? Because that's the equivalent today, the Jew that has become a Christian. We're mostly Gentiles here. I don't think as we read this, we're like, oh, good. Whew, glad I'm finally going to be accepted by those Jews. Okay, it's not really applicable in that context to us today. Historically important, text-wise, it's good to know. But my question is, who's the Jew and who's the Gentile in our world today? And if you say the Jews and the Gentiles, I guess you're right. I'm speaking more figurative. Who is it that God needs to say to you, hey, you know what? How about you extend a little grace? Or I'm so glad that you have extended some grace. I don't just want to be negative. I talked earlier about my upbringing. As a little kid, I'd have a friend come over. I'd be like, where do you go to church? And they would say, oh, blah, blah. I'm like, is that a Catholic church? And they'd say, no. And I'd go, oh, we can't really be friends. I mean, we'll be friends, but you're lost. Because we were Catholic. We were right. And we still see that today. But what is it in your world? I don't know if you've noticed this. If you go on a little thing they call social media, I have found out not everybody agrees politically. I know. It's crazy. Here's one of the things I love about this place. Okay, now when we talk about the church, he's talking about you. Okay, but okay, we can talk about this church too. Wasn't too long ago, right back there, sat a woman who was pretty upset about the way politics were, wearing a safety pin, letting people know if they're afraid they can come to her. Right behind her is a man wearing a hat and a t-shirt that said, "Make America Great Again." Let me tell you, that's two different aisles of the political spectrum right there. And you know what? They worship the same God. I'm proud of what this church does. So maybe it's politics that separates us and that we have to go, how can you be a Christian and be pro-choice? No, no, no. How can you be pro-life and still care about a woman's body? Same Jesus, I think. We can disagree. Is that the dividing line where you don't talk anymore to somebody? Or you only talk about the nice things anymore? Praise God, it isn't true of this place. What's the most segregated place in America on a Sunday morning? The church. Okay? The church. We can't have that. But sometimes we have that. Praise God, we don't have that. What about theology issues? Oh, we can't have those kind of people here. That is a dividing faction. And I'm mocking it because I mock it. If you look at what we believe, we're not going to compromise that here. But boy, well, there's a lot of latitude with all the other spiritual gifts. Churches divide over the things that we refuse to let it bother us. Heck, they divide, what is it? The difference between Hebron and Beulah was where the furnace was supposed to be put? Those Gentiles? I don't know. Here's the bottom line. Why are we doing all this? Why has God called us to this? It says we have peace, and that peace lies in Jesus. And what are we doing? We're doing all this that we may be built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Good works that He's prepared us to do. I want to teach in the positive. I want to say, let's do these things. But if we don't do these things, then those things won't get done, or they won't be included with us. So I love the fact that in this body, I don't know who the Jew and the Gentile is. We're just a bunch of schlemiels following Jesus Christ. But let's keep doing that because God has called us to great work. Let us extend grace to those on that list and your list and every other list of the people that are different than us. Why don't we extend some grace? Because didn't we get a whole lot of grace from God through Jesus Christ? I want to exude that same grace that is loving and forgiving so that I can be on point to love that person that God calls me to. As we go forward, I've said it several times, it's a good idea to commit your life to Christ. I'm biased. Okay? two rooms down in this hallway, the nice, nice room, not the kind of plain room. After church, our elders will be there. If you've decided to follow Jesus Christ, you can pop in, let them know that. If you've got questions about life, grace, church, the Gentile in your world that makes you mad, whatever, the elders will be in that room when we're done with church. You are free, that door is open, to go in and have somebody just pray for you as well. Speaking of prayer, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. And I confess that I have looked at my life and tried to manhandle it a little bit, when in reality, I'm just your workmanship. And I thank you that you would choose to let me be a part of your family, that you would give me that grace despite who I am. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here, each person on their journey, young and old alike, that they would relent to you and your Holy Spirit, and that they would be so full of that Holy Spirit that they couldn't help but go love another, to go meet a need, to go serve a purpose, to go be used by you. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had here today, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.